Amen. Can we give God praise this morning? It's good to be in God's house. God is for us, and who can be against us? Amen. Amen. We'll turn around and wave at somebody and just let them know you're glad to see them this morning. To all of you, we just welcome you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of 1 John? That's all the way close to the book of Revelation. So the book of 1 John, John chapter 1, verse chapter 2. And 1 John chapter 2. Now, thank you for being here today. To all of our guests, we welcome you. Thank you for coming out and being with us. And those of you who are watching online, we really appreciate you watching us online. We welcome you. So here's a little bit of humor just to hopefully make you smile. Are you ready? So a man committed a crime because he decided he'd rather be in prison than to live with his wife. And he was sentenced, and guess what his sentence was? House arrest. All right, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brother Johnny, if you can turn me down, I'm hearing quite a bit of a ring. I would appreciate that. Let's go again, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. If you're ready, say amen. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Father, we have, Lord, taken the time to get ourselves dressed and to come to the house of the Lord. And now that we're here, help us to be here, spirit, soul, and body, to hear, Lord, what you would say to us, and that we would receive it and not just hear it, but do something with it and apply it to our lives. We thank you for the eternal word of God. We thank you for your people. Lord, we thank you for everyone that is watching online. Let your word be a source of encouragement and edify the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. How many understand that there is a consequence to literally everything we do? Let me see your hand. Can I say it again? Literally, every choice that you make, both good and bad, there are consequences. And that's why it matters, brothers and sisters, what you believe and how you live. Because you can believe something and you can be very sincere in what you believe, but be sincerely wrong. So it is important what you believe. Can I get an amen? Fortunately, God set a model for us on how to live in this world. And it's found in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. I read previously from the New King James Version. Now I want to read from the English Standard Version. Here's what it says. Anyone who says he is a Christian should live as Christ did. And we say, well, duh, that's kind of obvious. And yes, it is. But yet many times we don't do it. We call ourselves followers of Christ, but we don't always live as Jesus lived. How many honest people do I have here this morning? And I think that's all of us. So the big question is, how am I to live like Jesus? How am I to do that? What I'm going to do this morning, what I'm going to attempt to do, is I'm going to attempt to give you the cliff notes on how Jesus lived. So everything, basically all the scriptures that I'm going to be using pretty much are red letter edition. So this is really trying to summarize how Jesus lived in 10 different values. There's no way I'm going to get to all 10 this morning. So I'll probably come back maybe next week and try to finish up. I don't even know if I can get to 5, but we're going to get started. So here you go. You ready? This is how Jesus lived. Number one, he lived with discernment.
Jesus lived with discernment. Now, the problem is we are today surrounded by media. You say, why is that a problem? Because media bombards us with all kinds of things that are not healthy for our mind and our soul. Do you agree with that? We have internet, we have social media, we have TV, we have movies, we have podcasts, and we are surrounded and bombarded every day with all of this media. And after a while, even the best of us, we can start letting our guard down. How many knows that's true? Even the best of us can start letting our guard down. And Jesus says this, you need to be discerning. Say discerning. You need to be discerning and know what you are allowing into your mind. Because if you're not careful, you just let your guard down and you think, well, that's not any big deal. Because you slowly warm up to what this culture says is okay. And brothers and sisters, what the culture says is okay and what God says is okay is really two different things. Can I get a witness? And so here's what Romans 12:2 says, and I love this passage the way it says it. It says, don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. In other words, think for yourself. Think for yourself, brothers and sisters. You got to learn to think for yourself. Does this line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't, put it aside. Does this thought line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't, cast it down. Does this line up with God's values? If it doesn't, be discerning and throw it out the window. Can I get a witness? Let's take a little survey of intelligence here this morning. Participate. Let's all participate. How many of you believe everything you read in the newspaper? Let me see your hand. How many of you believe everything you see on TV? Let me see your hand. How many of you believe everything you read in the magazines? Let me see your hand. Okay? Now let me ask you this. How many of you would say you do believe everything God's Word says is true? Let me see your hand. Thank you. Now here's the question. Are you ready for the question? Then how and why do we spend more time listening and watching and reading something we don't believe rather than something we do? I got a few nods, but for the rest of us, let's say amen. 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 To live like Jesus, what does it mean? We got to live with discernment. You don't automatically, brothers and sisters, just accept the world's values. Be discerning. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. See, you can discern things. I've had people tell me stuff and I'd be looking at them and I'm saying yes, but my spirit's saying that's not true. That's discernment. Discerning, being discerning. How do I get that? You get it through prayer. God, help me to know. Let my spirit know things that my mind doesn't. Your mind can know things, but your spirit can know more things because your spirit is of God and it knows all things. That's why if you would tap into your spirit more than your mind, you would be directed better because your spirit knows. And you can come in and people start telling you something and that spirit of discernment kicks in and says, you might want to back out of this. Somebody comes to you and says, man, I got something. It's the greatest investment ever. I mean, this is awesome. And all you got to do is invest $1,000 and your spirit says, I don't think so. That's called discernment. If you're going to live like Jesus, you got to have discernment in your life. Are you ready? If you're going to live like Jesus, you got to have integrity. The word integrity comes from a word called integrated. The word integrated means bringing many units together as one. It means to unite one unit. Most people live their life in silos, I'm sad to say. In other words, here's my job life and here's how I act on my job. And then here's how I act on Friday nights. And then this is what I do on Saturday. And then this is who I am on Sunday. And then this is what I do on Monday. And it's unfortunate, but many Christians live in silos and their life is not integrated into one. See, Jesus didn't have his personal life. He didn't have his golf buddy life. He didn't have his work life and his Sabbath life. Who Jesus was who he was. I'm not going to get off on this, but parents, one of the greatest things you can do is live consistent. However you live at your home, live it when you go on vacation. Live that way when you go on your job. Wherever you go, just live your life as one, because then you don't have to decide which life am I living today. You're living an integrated life. You're living a life of integrity. That's how Jesus lived. Wherever he went, he was the same, no matter where he went. Live with integrity. Can I get a witness? See, if you wear different masks, today you're this, today you're that, and you pretend, that's a lack of integrity. Jesus says this in Luke 11 and verse 36. He says this, if you are filled, say filled. If you are filled with light. In other words, you're not hiding anything. See this? If you're filled with light, if there's no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Love that translation there. Okay? In other words, no dark corners. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that you allow God into every area of your life and you don't say, well, Lord, you can't come here because this is my Friday night social drinking life. Yeah. And God, you can't come over here because this is my private internet viewing life. And Lord, I'm going to give you most of me, but this part of me here, that this is what I really like, and I can't give you that either. And God says, listen, you're not living your life with integrity. There should be no dark corners in your life. You should say every day, God, you're the CEO of my life. Come into every part of me. I want to be healthy in all of me. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? See, I'm not going to keep my life separate. I'm not going to keep dark corners. Jesus didn't live like that. And you know what? God wants all of you. Can you say amen? He don't want just part of you. He wants all of you. What does God want that he can't get? He wants your heart, and he can't get it unless you give it to him. Can I preach? God will never drag you to an altar, and the devil cannot drag you to a bar. You have a personal choice, and you have to make on a daily basis, who am I going to serve? Am I going to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, and lay it on the altar? Or am I going to do what I want to do when I want to do it? That's not the way Jesus lived. He lived with integrity. Here's the third key. If you're going to live like Jesus, you got to live with humility. Say humility. Jesus says this, God blesses those who realize their need for him. Why is humility so important? Because without it, you have stress in your life. I'm reading a great book right now on humility by a gentleman named Murray. It's a thin book, but it's a tremendous book. And I am learning about humility again, because here are the two greatest stresses in life. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. First is trying to control the uncontrollable. I want your attention. Here's the first stress in your life. You're trying to control the uncontrollable. And when you try to control things that you can't control, you get stressed out. It gets you worried. And the truth is, brothers and sisters, most of your life is out of your control. And I know that people who love control hate to hear what I'm about to say. But the fact of the matter is, you didn't choose when you were born. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose the day you were born. You didn't choose the color of your skin. You didn't choose the era in which you were born in. You didn't choose the social economic status that you were born into. You can't control President Trump. You can't control what weather was like today. You can't control the stock market. You can't even control what people are going to say about you. You can't control next week. You can't control next month. You can't even control tomorrow. And people that love control hate to hear this. People think that, Pastor, you just ought to get up and tell people how it is and they're going to listen. Really? Listen, here's what I have found out. I'm going to do my best to preach to you the truth in love, and you're going to have to decide what you will do with it. I can't make you live for God. If I can make people, trust me, there would be a lot that I would want to do. And here's what stress is when you're trying to control something that you can't control. Your stress level goes up. See, the truth of the matter is this. The need to control is an evidence of insecurity. Oh, it's going to get warm in here now. It's fixing to get real quiet. I'm going to say that again. Your need to control is evidence of insecurity. When you see somebody, listen to me, that has a high need for control, it means one thing. They have high insecurity. The more insecure a person is, the more they try to control everything. Why? Because they are afraid. I can speak on a personal experience about this. I have tried to control some things in my life. Why? Because I was afraid that those people wouldn't do it the way I would do it. And I thought I would do it best. That's just being honest with you. Until I realized that God made everybody different and He wired you different. And it's okay for you to be different. But when we are highly insecure, then we want to control people. We want to control things because we're very afraid that they're not going to do it like we want them to do it. See, there's a lot of people that want to control their children, and rightfully so. When they're 0 to 18, there's a level of control. But even their adult children, they want to control because they're afraid if they do it wrong, it's going to reflect badly and poorly on them. So they're not really concerned so much about their children as they are how it's going to reflect on them. Does that make sense? Can I keep going or have I lost you? See, the more confident you are, the more relaxed you are. I'm going to say that again. The more confident you are, the more relaxed you are. Study all of the life of Jesus and you're going to see where Jesus never got ramped up. He never was, oh, I got to run over here. He was okay being 4 days late to Lazarus and showing up 4 days late. He was always calm. He was always cool. He was always confident. And he was always in control. Why? Because he wasn't trying to control things that he couldn't control. See, I learned this several years ago. I have learned, and I haven't mastered it, but I have learned to live with what is called God's gravity. See, God's gravity means that I live with an open hand. What are you saying, Pastor? So Janet and I and our family believe that everything we need is coming to us when it needs to come to us. And we believe and trust that everything that no longer is serving us in a positive way is going to exit our life. So I don't hold on to people. I don't hold on to things because I'm going to live with an open hand. Because brothers and sisters, people are not going to do it the way you want them to do it all the time. And if you're trying to constantly control them, then you're going to stay ramped up. Things are not going to go the way you always want them to go. And if you're trying to constantly control it, you're going to stay ramped up. It's going to be a big stress in your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, the second great source of stress is a lack of trust in God. When you don't trust God, guess what? Your stress goes up. When your worry goes up when you don't trust God, your anxiety goes up. And then guess what? Your peace goes in the toilet. Why? Why is that? Well, because you're depending on yourself instead of depending on God. So what is the antidote to stress? Here it is. You ready? It's called humility. Matthew 11 and 29, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, burn out, and I will give you more work to do." It's not what it says. He says, if you'll come to me and you're stressed out and you're burned out, he said, I will give you rest. How? Take my yoke up on you. So what is the purpose of a yoke? The purpose of a yoke is to half the burden. When you get yoked up, for instance, when one ox yokes up to another, they half the burden. Not one ox is having to pull it by itself. When you get yoked up to Christ, then he can pull way more than you can. And he's helping you pull the load called life. Here's the next reason why you want to get yoked up to Christ is because he knows the pace you should sustain. We're living in a pace that is unsustainable today. I hope you come next Sunday, because next Sunday I'm hoping to talk about the pace of life. Do you understand that for thousands and thousands of years, the pace of life was 3 miles an hour? Say, what do you mean by that? That is as fast as a man could walk is 3 miles an hour, and that was the pace of life. I'm going to talk about this next Sunday if the Lord helps me, or maybe, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's coming. But I got to say this real quick, okay? Because when you read in the scripture that Jesus did all these great works in Samaria or Judea, but then what you don't take into account is after he left there, it was 3 days' journey to the next place. What do you think they were doing? They were processing everything that happened in Judea. This one was healed, and this is how that went. They didn't just show up in Samaria in the next 5 minutes. They were taking time to process it. We don't take time to process today. We're running at a pace that is unsustainable, and this is why people are getting burned out and stressed out and worried, and they're full of anxiety, is because they're not yoked up to Christ. Christ knows the pace that you need to go. Here's the next reason why you want to be yoked up to Christ. You ready for this? Is because it's not within man to direct his own steps. If you direct your own steps, 9 times out of 10, you're either going to run in the ditch or you're going to go in circles. But God knows the way, and he knows how to lead you. So it's at his pace, and he's walking, and he's taking you in the right direction. Lord, you lead me, I'm going to follow. I'm going to go at your pace. I don't have to solve all the world's problems. Oh, this is better than what you're backing me up. Come on now. So, if you're stressed out, what is the answer to your stress? Well, it's 3 things found in this verse that I just read to you. If you're saying, Pastor, I'm stressed out, what do I do? Are you ready for this? Those of you online, catch this. Number one, he says, come to Christ. That's the first thing that you got to do. You got to come to Christ. You got to resign of being CEO of your own life and say, God, you're the CEO. And then here's the second step. You give up control. Oh, my God. That's like a curse word among most people. Give up control? What do you mean? That's right. You give up control and you get yoked to Christ so that he can help pull and he can help navigate and direct. And then you learn to trust. You live with an open hand. This is why I've lived most of my life very ramped up. Now, I know you don't see that because it's not external. It's more internal. I've lived very ramped up, very driven. And I had to come to a place that I just have to trust God. God knows how to get me where he wants me in 24 hours if he wants me there. He knows what I can handle. So this is what I pray. God, every dollar, I don't want a dollar more and I don't want a dollar less than what I can handle. I don't want anything more or anything less than what I can handle, because ultimately what matters most to me is being saved. Does that make sense? Okay, here's the fourth one. Here's the fourth one. But let me just say this. When it comes to giving up control, here's what it looks like on a practical level. Literally, you may have to come to God maybe even 25, 30 times in a day and say, God, I give this problem to you. Literally, come back to him. God, I give this problem to you. God, I'm going to give up control of this. Because I get frustrated with people. I'm frustrated with this coronavirus right now. Anybody else? I'm frustrated with it. I'm frustrated at what it's doing to people's lives. We had 2 great pastors that just have gone on to be with Jesus because of coronavirus. This is not an interruption. This is a total disruption. Right? And so I'm tired of it. I don't like wearing a mask. I don't like all of that. I just don't. And I can get easily ramped up. And so what I got to keep doing is I got to keep coming back to God and saying, God, you're in control. I'm not. It's not my church. It's your church. I didn't go to the cross for all you beautiful people. Jesus did. I can't do anything right now about the coronavirus other than pray the protection of God and plead the blood over our health. And by the way, when I'm thinking about it, Molly tested negative and she's feeling good and great. And thank the Lord for that. And thank you for all of your prayers. Of course, she wouldn't be here if she had tested positive. But so I figured you knew that. But I wanted to say, I don't have control, brothers and sisters, over so much. And I can get ramped up over what I don't have control over. And I want things to drastically change. But you know what? I had to go back to God and say, God, Lord, you're in control of this. I'm bringing this problem to you. I'm just going to give up control. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to trust in you. And when I do that, my stress level goes down. Here's the fourth thing. And this is another big one. Are you ready? Here's how to live like Jesus. You live with simplicity. Jesus obviously lived a very, very simple life. And when we live with simplicity, you know what it does? It lowers our stress. But today has gotten more and more and more complex, and it's getting more so. Everybody agree with that? Not only that, but you've got more stuff than you've ever had in your life. And I guarantee you, the more you have, the more you have to care for, the more you have to clean, the more you have to protect, the more you have to insure, and the more you have to repair. The more stuff you got, the more it dominates your life. My guess is this. Most of us who are probably at least in our late 40s, early 50s, probably have more stuff than our parents did. And today there is an industry that wasn't even here 50 years ago. And it's called the personal storage unit. And it's to hold people's stuff. And you can go on Google and you can find there is now 1.8 billion square feet of personal storage space that didn't even exist 50 years ago. Because we have bought into this culture that says it's all about your possessions. And we bought into it. The church has, Christians have. We bought into it. But Jesus says this in Luke 12 and 15. Says, this is a different translation, but he says, be on your guard. Guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. But everything in our society, brothers and sisters, says it's all about stuff. It's all about getting more. And the whole purpose of life is what the culture says is simply the acquisition of things. But Jesus says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And that is the exact opposite of what the culture teaches today. Our culture teaches that whoever dies with the most toys wins. And I will tell you, no, he doesn't, because he still dies. And somebody that's got a little bit of money passes away, and then somebody else says, well, I wonder how much he left. I can tell you how much he left. He left all of it. That's how much he left. He left all of it. He came in with nothing, and he went out with nothing. He left it all. And yet our society tells us you got to keep working. You got to work. And here's the truth is you get a little bit of stuff for 60, 80, 100 years. And then guess what? When you're gone, it's gone and it passes on. Can I get a witness? And a lot of people, even Christians, think that life is all about collecting stuff. And I'm sorry to say it, but that's stupid. That's stupid. None of it's going to last. And in America, we are possessed by our possessions. What do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean by it. There's a lot of people that are using all of their time, their energy, and their effort just to get more things. And so what they do is they go out and they buy or build a bigger house than what they can afford. They go out and get more of a car than what they can afford. And then they have to hustle and overextend themselves just to try to impress people that they don't even know and maybe not even like. And it's called stupid. You know, my daddy told me this many years ago. He said, Wayne, here's what I've observed through life. People live 40 years of their life getting their life all entangled in a web, and then they spend the next 40 years trying to untangle it. I found that to be true. I have found, here's what else, Dad, I found to be true. People work 40 years of their life trying to get their wealth. They work. And because they just work to get wealth, then the next 40 years, they're spending all of their wealth to try to get health. And the world calls that smart. No, the Bible calls that dumb. Jesus says your life does not consist in the things that you possess. And yet there's people, they'll do all kinds of things. And I don't want to get in trouble here, but they'll miss a month of Sundays for a dollar. They'll move their, I've literally seen this in 30 years of ministry. They're willing to move their family where there's not a good church so they can make $2 more an hour. And I'm sorry, I'm just human, right? I'm just human. But I want to take them and I want to slap them. And I want to tell them, you mean you're willing to uproot your family and your babies to go to a city that doesn't have a good church for $2 more an hour? I want to tell them you're stupid. But of course I don't. Because we have bought in, brothers and sisters, to this very toxic culture that says you're somebody if you make money, you're somebody if you got all the toys, you're somebody if you have a big house. And Jesus says, that's totally opposite of my culture. If you want to live like me, just live with simplicity. Can I get a witness? Because you know what? You're going to get a car, and when you get that car, you're going to get bored with that car. Ask Cherie. You're going to get bored with that car. That technology's going to get old, and then she's going to want a new one. At least she said amen. And you're the same way. You get a vehicle, then you get bored with it, you want another one. And that's going to be all through life. I love you, Cherie. I know who I can pick on and who I can't. And this is how we live, and we wonder why we're all stressed out, full of anxiety, full of worry, because we're not living like Jesus lived. Can I get a witness? Never sacrifice time for things. Never sacrifice time for things. Your time is way more important than your money. You can earn more money. You can't earn more time. How do you spell love? You don't spell it L-O-V-E. You spell it T-I-M-E. Because whatever you L-O-V-E, you're going to invest T-I-M-E in it. Can I get a witness? Jesus says this in Matthew 16 and 24. How do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul in the process? In other words, how do you benefit if you gain all of this stuff? You have all of the toys, the latest and the greatest of everything. But then you get before God and he says, depart from me because I never knew you. Was it worth it? I'm going to tell you, no, it's not. But the culture says that's what you got to do to be valuable. And I'm going to just stop right here, okay? I'm going to finish up right here. Brothers and sisters, I've had to learn this myself. As your pastor, I'm being totally transparent with you. I've been reading and I have read books and I've recommended books on personal value and where do I get my personal value. Look up here. My personal value doesn't come from what I own. My personal value comes from what Jesus did for me at the cross. I am valuable because Jesus would have went to the cross if it would have just been me by myself to give me a choice. That's what makes me valuable. Not a motorcycle, not a truck, not a big house. Don't have any problem with any of that. I'm not preaching a poverty gospel. I'm just saying stay within your means and don't try to impress people and work yourself to death without enjoying your family. Can I get a witness? Is there anything worth more than your soul? No. Of course not. Is there anything worth more than your health? No, not really. Is there anything worth more than your family? No, not really. There is no thing worth more than those relationships. And if you have a possession, if you have a possession and God says, hey, I want you to give that watch to me, could you give it? Or are you so possessed by your possessions that you couldn't even give that watch when you're going to leave it here anyway? I know what I'm preaching this morning is a very anti-American message. It's anti-American because we have drunk so much of the toxic culture of this world and bought into it's all about what you have. And Jesus lived a very simple life, and guess what? He's still changing lives 2,000 years later. And he never wrote a book. He never owned a home. He didn't have a PhD. He didn't have the latest and greatest vehicle. He didn't have great wardrobe. He basically had nothing, and yet he changed the world. So I'm going to challenge you as I wrap this up. I want to challenge you with something. Man. I want to ask you three personal questions. Here it is. Are you ready? In what areas are you limiting God by your unbelief? See, we think one of the greatest sins, I could name it, one of the greatest sins most people think is adultery. But really one of the greatest sins of all time is unbelief. Because when you live with unbelief, you totally limit God in your life. Well, what do you mean by that? The Bible says he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The Almighty God, it's not that he couldn't do it, he chose not to do it because of their unbelief. And when you walk in unbelief as a Christian, you are limiting the power of God in your life. So I'm going to ask you a question. In what areas of your life are you limiting God by your unbelief? Because God wants to bless you, but you're limiting him because you're not doing it his way. See, we think, well, I can live the way I want and God's going to bless me anyway. I'm sorry, but once you come into the kingdom of God, you got to do it his way to get his blessings. If you want God to bless your finances, you got to bless how he says to handle your finances. What about your relationships? What about your career? Some of you are saying, hey, I know God says it to do this way, but I don't really know if God knows what he's talking about, so I'm going to do what I want to do. And every time you doubt God, you limit yourself. Here it is. What needs to change in your life? What would you like to change in your family? What would you like to change in your relationships or in the world? I'm going to step out here and go first, and I'm hurrying. One of the things that I would like to change is I'd like for us to not only have a gospel that is proclaimed, but a gospel that is demonstrated. Amen. That's one of the things I'd like to change and see change in TPC, because here's what I know. That it was miracles and signs and wonders that was God's calling card. And when he did that, people heard and they started coming. But if all we do is just proclaim the message, that's great and we need to. But we need to see a demonstration of that. If it's just proclamation, we're just a one-winged bird. But the Bible says grace and truth. That gives us balance. Proclamation and demonstration. We need to see people's lives being changed by the demonstration of God's power. People being healed, set free, delivered. That's what I want to see. I've got other things, but I don't have time to share that with you. And so then here's my third question I want to ask you. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I'm going to again be open with you. I've had a little pity party about this corona. People are not showing up to church. How do I get going forward? How do I keep this thing moving? Because I feel very, very lethargic. We just got to wait this out like a kitten on a screen door, grit our teeth. Hopefully it's going to hurry up and get over. It's another one of those things that I've had to just let go. I'm not in control. But you know what? I got to keep doing what I know to do. I can't make people come to church. I can't make them live for God. I can't make people pray. I can't make anybody do anything. I can lead and try to influence. Right? But God is asking me, Wayne, what are you waiting on? And I've given him a little pity party. And guess what? I'm not waiting on God. He's waiting on me. God did not bring us here to just hear a message and go home and sit and soak and get sour. God calls and wants us to soar. He wants us to soar above this culture. He wants people to look at us and say, man, I don't know exactly what they got, but whatever they got, I want it. That's how God gets glory. Can you stand to your feet this morning? How many believe that God wants you to make a difference? Okay. If you believe that, then let's live like He lived so we can make the difference. This is no time for discouragement. And yet I know that many of us have been discouraged, but this is no time for discouragement. We got to get up. We got to get going. There's never going to be a perfect time to do anything for God. We're trying to make heaven. We're trying to make earth heaven, and earth will never be heaven. It's never going to be a perfect time. You just got to get going. You just got to do what you can do and put the rest of it in the hands of the Lord. Would you bow your head? Father, we come to you today, and Lord, this world says one thing and you say another. And so we're going to have to choose how we're going to live. Lord, you live with discernment. You were very discerning of things that you allowed into your life and the people that you allowed into your life. You live with discernment. God, you lived with, Lord, humility. You humbled yourself and you lived with humility, and you realized even as God, you were still limited by time and by your flesh. Father, you lived, oh God, with simplicity. You didn't have to own everything to feel valuable. And so, Lord, I'm coming to you. Help us to live lives of integrity with discernment, simplicity. Help us to live, oh God, our lives as you live so that we, Lord, don't get all caught up in the toxicity of this culture. And Lord, there's things that we want to change, but we can't change them. So instead of getting so ramped up about it, help us just to constantly throughout the day put it back into your hands. And God, I give you control. And God, I let you have this. And God, I'm not going to worry about it. Because I want to live like you lived. Now, would you just slip your hands up right now all over this building? And would you just begin to talk to the Lord? You know where you're at. You know emotionally and spiritually where you are. Talk to God. God, there's some dark corners in my life that I haven't given to you. Lord, I need to give that to you so that I can be full of your light. God, I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you. I need you. Come on. Would you lift up your hands? Would you lift up your heart? Would you lift up your heads? Talk to God right now, right where you're standing. God, I want to live with discernment in my life. I want to watch what I watch, God. God, I want to live with integrity. I haven't been a person of integrity. I've been one way on a Friday night and another way on a Sunday morning. God, I want to live, Lord, with simplicity. I just want to realize my life doesn't consist in the things that I own. Why don't you get yoked up to the Lord right now? Been yoked up to some things that are not healthy. Get yoked up to the Lord. God, I